You are listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscop. This message was recorded on February 28, 2024, and is titled, Cheated Again. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and let's join Steve and the message.
I think it's pretty crazy for Christians to sit around praying for God to meet somebody's need if you're not praying for God to tell you what that need is. I think God expects us to participate in this stuff. So we're going to pray and whatever God shows us to do, and that's what we'll do. Is that all right with everybody? All right, now we've got a couple other things I want to talk about before we get the Murphs get up here and sing and get y'all happy and ready. And tomorrow night, Karen Post is coming back to town. And I think the sheriff and his gang cooking up some beans and cornbread, 6 o'clock at the Bailey County Coliseum. So even if you're not into politics, you might be into beans. So listen, let me tell you something. Beans and politicians got a lot in common now. And so we'll... we'll go eat some beans. So anyhow, it sure won't hurt anybody to show up. If you don't have anything to do tomorrow night, Bailey County Coliseum, 6 o'clock, come show up and hang out a little bit. It was brought up a little earlier about voting. Early voting started last Tuesday. It goes on, I believe, till the 31st or something like that. What is it? Till the 1st? Okay, that'll be the day after the 31st. And so, in February. No, there's no 31st of February. 29th. So it'll be on the 30th of February. 30th of February is, yeah, 1st of March and 30th of February, same day. Now everybody's thoroughly confused. Get up there and vote early, or be sure you vote. That's the main thing. Everybody, we talked about, you know, last week was a pretty big week. I know a lot of you left this place and went and did some investigating of your own. And people on the other side of this camera, my phone has been busy this week, and every nickel of it's been good. Every nickel of it's been positive. People are being enlightened to a few things. Here's what I'm going to work really hard not to do, and here's what I am going to do. I'm going to work really hard not to talk bad about what we've been doing, not to give all the gory details of where we've been and how it's been. I'm not going to stand around and tell you what I'm not going to do. But I want to tell you what I am going to do. And on the 22nd of April, on a Monday night, 6 o'clock, there'll be a meal catered here. I think we'll get some paper laid back here sometime. We'd like to kind of get some sort of head count. All you people that are listening online, if you'll just call me or something, or message me and let me know you're coming, or we can get a little bit of a head count. We're going to have a really nice meal here. And we're going to fellowship together. We're going to talk about some of the intricacies of Passover and why it is so essential and beneficial to our everyday lives, why God has set that in place a long time ago for our benefit. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to pray together a little bit, and we're going to take communion together, a pure representation of the Passover in the Lord's communion. And so we'll do that, and then we'll prepare everybody for first fruits coming up on that Wednesday, and how necessary, or not necessary, but how beneficial. That's the better, because what we do in Christianity is the supposed to's, you know, and what you need to do. The truth of the matter is, in the kingdom of God, it's what you get to do. The opportunities that God has presented us. These different things, if you renew your mind and come out from the trap and be separate. how your life can change. I mean, Robin and I give testimony after testimony of when we finally started learning about Passover, how that has absolutely set our life on a way better course. Our business, our family, my customers, how first fruits with nothing to do with money. I want to tell you one quick story. My first fruits offering was a paycheck from Clovis Livestock for a Wednesday. And this is a long time ago. And I brought that check and didn't care about the money, but it represented my Wednesday. We were having services on Thursday night. I was fixing to be done at Clovis Livestock, not auctioneer anymore. And through all that Passover, see, the offering of first fruits is for the potential. It's not a cutting off the excess from what you got. It's giving ahead of time and saying, Lord, what's my potential? Waving that sheaf and say, hey, you know, bless our crops, bless our stuff, bless whatever. And I said, do something with my Wednesday. That's it. Now I auctioneer cow sale every Wednesday at Clovis. My check's bigger than the one I gave. And my hours are way different. I quit at 2 o'clock every Wednesday. It's the standing joke at Clovis. I mean, some people are just getting there. And I'm gone, Jack. I'm gone. And then at the same time, the Lord told me laying in a motel room one night that it would benefit all of us if we moved this service to Wednesday night. I didn't know how that was all going to work. And now all of a sudden here, this many years later, we can't even think of it being any different. But the cow sale is important to me. Not because I get a check every week. I just like going to cow sale every week. We have a good time. Do I look like I have a good time every week up there, Murph? I love being there. I don't know if you've done something for 40 years and still love it, but I love being there. And then I love being here. And you know what all that Wednesday did? It gave me my life back. Because we were coming into a phase in our life where we needed Thursday for family, for business, for whatever we got going on, along with Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This doing this on Wednesday gave me the other 6 days to do everything I needed to do. Now, that may sound crazy to some people, but when you preach and study as much as I do and auctioneer 40-something horse sales a year, run your own horse sale, too. I'm no busier than anybody else, but I'm pretty busy. When the Lord figures out a way to take the burden off and to make it easier and more fruitful, that's significant. That was the first Passover. That was my first one. We've been observing Passover and first fruits ever since, and I can stay here till daylight and tell you what the Lord has done in our life just from paying attention to one appointed time. So on the 22nd, we're going to be here. If you want to be here, we'd love to know about it ahead of time, but I bet you we'll have enough food that if you change your mind and show up anyhow, we'll take care of you when you get here. And we're going to have a good time in the Lord on the 22nd of April. That'll be the beginning of the Lord's Passover. So anyhow, anybody else got an announcement, anything you want to talk about right quick? All right, well, let's pray and we'll get the Murphs up here. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight. Thank you and bless you. Lord, first and foremost, Lord, we just continue to petition you on behalf of all the people who have endured this big fire. This overwhelming fire. That Lord, right now, you continue to comfort them. Let them know it's going to be okay. That, Lord, right now you're rallying the troops. I know your angels are already there. But your army here in the earth, your church, we're just waiting for instruction, waiting for direction. Waiting for that right opportunity. And so, Lord, we speak to you tonight as Isaiah did. Here am I, Lord, send me. Whatever you want us to do, we'll do. Wherever you want us to go, we'll go. So, Lord, we lift all those people up to you who've suffered so much loss. Tonight, Lord, we're going to sing praises to your glory. Tonight, Lord, we're going to share in words of truth from your word. And, Lord, we're going to enjoy your holy presence, the direction of your Holy Spirit, dwelling with your holy angels in your house, Lord, the Father's house, which is the kingdom of God. Lord, we're starting to get it. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, you know, we hadn't had music in about 4 weeks or something, 3 or 4 weeks. Just one thing has happened. We just hadn't done it. And I should be honest with you. I decided, you know, people don't come here to sing, listen to us sing or whatever. They come here to hear Steve and to fellowship together, and they don't come here to sing. I just kept mulling over in my mind, and then the Lord got a hold of me just in the last couple of weeks, because I kind of praying about this. I said, you know, I don't even know. We don't need to be singing. I mean, it's, and, you know, Steve's been in Colossians, and so have I. And in Colossians 3, it's 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so, you know, not everybody has the wherewithal to, you know, be married to a piano player and own a guitar, you know. And so the Lord has given us this opportunity, given us this, even a responsibility to teach through music. Because these songs, I don't take these songs lightly that we sing. I want them to be a teaching and even admonishing. And, you know, admonishing, I always thought that was, I really didn't know what admonishing was. I thought it was encouraging or something. But admonishing is like basically a kind of a rebuke, but it's done in a positive way. He said that admonish one another. And so that's what these songs do. It reminds us of truth. I told Rhonda this morning, we were getting ready to go, and I said, you know, she's a math teacher, and I said, you know, if a kid says 2 + 2 = 5, you say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's 4. That's admonishment, but you do it it's like, you got to know the truth. And so that's what this does. In Ephesians 2, it talks about even how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's through these same things. It's through the songs, the psalms, and the spiritual songs. That's it. That's how we do one another, and then that's how the Holy Spirit can do something in us too. So, you know, I apologize for not leading us in singing, because, you know, David says, sing to the Lord a new song. And it does something to us. It gets down deep in our soul. Not just the words that we sing, but making melody. And so I'm just going to ask you to sing. We're going to sing a new song. I think we've done it once, but let's stand up and This is called Thanks and Praises. I don't think it's any better.
Well, I, for one, am glad y'all are singing. I didn't know he was thinking about not singing. I just thought they were always late at Leah's. I didn't know he was having an internal struggle. I just thought he was the enchiladas. Hey, y'all, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to get right to it tonight. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 is where we're going to take off, and we've got quite a bit to cover tonight. So I want to talk about some things. Once again, I want to encourage you tonight, if you're the kind of person that takes a note or underlines in your Bible or something like that, do that tonight, because honestly, what I'm going to talk about tonight is too much to cover in a night. It's too much to absorb in a night. It's too much to thoroughly explain in a night, but that's not my job. I'm going to go through this as the Holy Spirit leads me to go through this, and then you go home, investigate. Read your Bible. Study. Don't study your commentaries. Study the Word, okay? The Word is the Word, and then everything under the line there that somebody else said, that'd be kind of like coming here tonight. You're going to get them and God. It's like tonight, you're going to get God and Steve. Hopefully it's 85-15. It could be 75-25. God, we're shooting for way more than 50-50, okay? So, but... Go home and look at the Word, because if I've learned anything in the last 7 days, what we talked about last week, and I just kind of stood here and told you my little internal struggle, and the number of people, just the ones that have talked to me this week, that went home and investigated the situation we're in, investigated the Word of God, investigated some of the things that I talked about. Now they know for themselves. Now you know for yourself. One of the problems in Christianity is we're pretty sure we know what somebody else knows. You got to know this for yourself. It can't be Steve said. It can't be Jonathan Kahn said. It can't be the whoever on TV said. Can't be your little Sunday morning guy. Well, he said. Well, if he said it, go find out if he's lying or not. You'll find out what the truth is. Know these things for yourself. And then y'all, we've shared in this week. And I've said it a lot of times. You can't unknow what you know. So then comes the hard part. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, because that's the struggle. Now I know. I mean, some of the stuff we've talked about this week, I've been struggling with for years. And finally, I've made a couple decisions in my life. Holy moly, that feels good to not be faking it anymore, to not be wrestling anymore. Just be okay. So here in Colossians, when Paul writes to the church of Colossae and he's writing, oh, man, this covers a lot of good stuff now. So right here in verse 11, chapter 2, he's talking about in Jesus, he said, in him. You were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body, the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now there's 5 weeks worth of message right there in that one scripture. He covers circumcision. What was the sign for the Jews? What separated you from everybody else that was obvious? Really, two things. One, you had to be faithful to observe the Sabbath. But what about circumcision of the flesh? When God made the promise to Abraham, and isn't that one of the first things they did? They said, okay, now go circumcise your males to God. This is how this is going to go. It was the sign that says, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm circumcised. But he says right here, you were circumcision without hands. Now, I don't want to sit here and publicly discuss all the way you might circumcise a guy without hands. I'm going to say the easiest way is use your hands. He says right here, it's without hands. What is that? Paul writes about it to the church of Corinth. circumcision of the heart, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You see, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit marks you as a son or a daughter of Almighty. You now have a father in heaven. Do you know where you'll find one of the most significant teachings on fatherhood? In the Passover. See, the Passover is all about your household. Do you know the fathers were given the task in verse 10? Or I mean, not in verse 10, but on the 10th day of Nisan, first month, 4 days before the Passover, they were given the task to go find a perfect male lamb and then inspect him for 4 days to make sure that that lamb was qualified. When your Father in heaven sent the Lamb of God, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was absolutely perfect. But since that time, fathers quit inspecting anything. We don't inspect a youth group. We don't inspect our televisions. We don't inspect our TVs, our YouTubes. We don't inspect the teaching. We don't inspect the curriculum. It's a father's duty to inspect before you bring it to the house. You see, living in your house should be like the Father's house. That's one of the problems with the facade of the house of the Lord. No such thing. The house of the Lord is built by living stones. That's man's depiction. This place right here, it was a dance hall. It was an irrigation pump thing. Now we've been, it's a pretty good place to gather up. It only leaks when it rains. Praise God, we're in West Texas, so it only leaks twice a year. Pretty good spot to hang out of evening. Pretty good spot to get together and learn something. This is not the house of the Lord. This is a tin building that can be destroyed at any time. My Father's house is indestructible because my Father's house is the kingdom of God. And in my Father's house, this all has to do with circumcision. It's a father-son thing. It all has to do with the Passover. Why would they mention burial and baptism while you're talking about circumcision? Because that's what circumcision is. True circumcision is the immersing of a human being in the fullness of the Spirit of God. The baptismos of the Holy Ghost is the circumcision that sets you apart, sanctifies you for the purposes of God, sets you apart from all carnality in the world and all idolatrous religion of men. Now, that all came out pretty smooth. Ain't none of it wrote down either. But that's the truth. So he says right here, you were raised through faith through the working of God. You know, when we baptize people, those of us have been baptized, we're not religious about it. I'm one of the people sitting here who's been wet multiple times. I don't have any rules about that. They're not going to throw you out of heaven for getting too wet. You do whatever God's leading you to do, and you do it till you're finished. What Jesus did, he did one time, and it was finished. Sometimes humans will leave some things a little bit undone. So continue to follow in that. But here's the deal. You'll know you're finished when the working of God has raised you from the dead. You see, right now, today, you can't live until you die. We die to ourselves and we're raised in Christ. That's what baptism's all about. According to Romans 6, it's about the burial of Jesus and the resurrection from the tomb. It's not about church membership or anything else. It's not about attaining heaven. It's about being raised to new life and the working of God. I'm curious about the working of God nowadays in the people who say we're the people of God. But what about the working of God? If God was working in the church today, we would spend more time repenting than we do with our hands in the air praising. We'd be changing from the inside out, and the world would be changing around us. We'd be speaking and projecting the word of God as opposed to just trying to draw in every word we could get. It would manifest in us. Our families would know we were born again because they live with us. There's a good one. Our families would know we're born again because they live with us. And the working of God is happening. He said he's raised you from the dead. That's what happens when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's not about getting together once a week, speaking in tongues and banging a tambourine.
And that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.